Hi everyone, welcome to TU Extra and welcome also to this channel. Today I have a very special guest in the studio with me. He is a PhD student of Teesside University. He did his master's in Teesside University and is currently a lecturer, part-time lecturer in Teesside University and originally, of course, from Nigeria. I want to bring to you a very distinguished person who has had a lot of experience in media, in journalism, in online radio production, and digital production and other aspects. You are going to hear a lot about his experience in Teesside University, in Middlesbrough, and how everything began until this moment. I welcome you to studio, Jude Wabuke.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
I want you to tell us how it all began, the journey to Teesside University. First of all, how did you hear about Teesside University?
Okay, it all started when I, back in 2019, as a broadcast journalist with the Federal Radio Corporation of Nigeria in Lagos, where I was working. At the time, not only was I involved in radio production and reporting, I occasionally used to also be at the training school where I would mentor upcoming reporters in news coverage. So my involvement in workshop facilitation and mentoring of IT students who were studying mass communication and other and related disciplines made me realize that I had a thing for teaching, which was something that I did during my days at UI for brief periods before coming into broadcast journalism. So I began to search online for universities in the UK where I would be able to pursue a master's. In the course of surfing the internet, I came across some other institutions. Then stumbled upon Teesside University because I wanted an institution that was affordable, but at the same time offered a quality education. So I weighed the pros and cons. I looked across the various schools and I settled for Teesside. So aside from its affordability, I also wanted a university that was not in any of the mainstream cities. So I didn't want to be in London, I didn't want to be in Manchester, didn't want a place that had, you know, that metropolitan life. I just wanted to taste a part of England that was a bit far removed from the cities.
Wow.
Yes. Hey. So, and maybe it was due to the fact that I was born in a busy city like Lagos. Mm. I didn't want to go to London, which in some way reminds me of Lagos and all the rush and all.
True,
so,
true.
I just wanted to be in a place that was a bit more, you know, much more serene, you know. So that also were one of the motivations that led to my choice of Teesside University.
Wow, that's inspiring. So when you came, you said you came in here in 2019, right?
2019, yes.
Yes, so you came for Masters
yes.
in Teesside University. Mm-hmm. Then you proceeded to go for PhD.
Yes.
What motivated that, please?
That was because I realized that I was interested in teaching and research, in joining the academia. So towards the end of my master's, it became quite clear while I was trying to draft out an exit strategy on what I would do after my master's, I took some time to reflect. So I had two options. I could either go back into broadcast journalism, which was already a terrain I was familiar with,
right,
or I could just choose to go into academia. I actually did try to go into broadcast journalism during my advanced placement, and everything had already gone through. I was already, you know, quite close to joining BBC Radio Tees.
Wow.
Because I had already spoken with the manager, one of the managers there at the time, and everything was going. And then COVID struck.
Wow.
In 2020, and
wow.
It was a time when there was lockdown. So, because of COVID, I couldn't work with BBC Radio Tees anymore.
Wow.
So it was within that period that I said, okay, since this hasn't worked out, then that period elapsed. I did my master's project, finished, graduated, and then the next option was to become an academic, which already was something I had in the pipeline. So
wow.
By October 2021, I started my PhD.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was after the COVID lockdown.
Yeah.
So you returned to school.
Mm-hmm.
Then, along the line, you became a part-time lecturer at Teesside University.
Yes.
How did that happen?
Oh, well, remarkably, I had just started my PhD, and it was just one of those evenings when I decided to take a stroll across the university.
Right.
Which was not something I usually do because I tend to be an indoor person.
Wow.
And if I have no reason to go out, I just stay indoors.
Mm.
But on this particular day, I had this urge to just
take a stroll
and walk around.
Yeah.
So in the course of walking around, I met one of my module tutors, Rachel Dodd.
Right.
And we got talking. And she was like, oh, and she began to ask, so what are you doing now? And I said, oh, well, I just started my PhD, you know, so... And then she said, and then she asked if I would be interested in teaching. And I said, yes. So she asked me to send her an email the following Monday because that was a Friday.
Right.
And as we usually say, the rest is history. So
wow.
I did all the necessary documentation and I began to teach modules in digital journalism and public relations.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's interesting, right?
Yeah,
your teaching experience. So now you have like double cap. You are a lecturer and a PhD student.
Yes.
How do you put that together?
Well, it can be quite daunting sometimes, especially in the area of time management.
Right.
Because besides being a PhD student and being a part-time lecturer, there's also the demands from family.
Right.
I'm a husband. I'm a father.
Right.
I have things I also do in church as a church worker. Yeah. And so sometimes combining all these things can be quite challenging, but I think it all boils down to time management.
Mm.
I'm the kind of person that believes that you can do as much as you want to do if you know how to manage your time. There will always be people and activities that want to, you know,
take
your time, but you need to learn to prioritize.
Wow.
Which was something I had to do. It, of course, made me step on some toes because of people who didn't like the fact that I wasn't always available.
Wow.
When they wanted, but I think over time they got to understand.
Wow.
You know, that sometimes I needed to be selfish and prioritize myself first.
It's understandable. If I may add also, UK is a place where you waste no time.
Oh, no, no. You know, of course, you know, back in Nigeria, we used to hear that at the time, time is money.
Yes.
It made a lot more sense here.
Yeah, I know, right? You know?
Every hour counts.
Exactly.
You know, especially in a situation where you're being paid by the hour. So you realize that you do not have that luxury of time to waste.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure. So I wanted to ask some funny question.
Mm-hmm.
When you were living in Nigeria, do you have like some expectation or some things you were kind of viewing in your mind, imagining that, okay, when I get to the UK, okay, I expected to see this versus what you now came to meet?
Quite frankly, there wasn't much of a shock for me because I did my research.
Right.
Before coming to the UK, I used to travel a lot.
Right.
And already, although I hadn't been to the UK before 2019, I had already touched Europe.
Right.
So I'd been to France, I'd been to Germany, I'd been to the Netherlands.
Right.
And already the little experiences I had during my brief sojourn in those places
mm-hmm.
already gave me some bit of insight as to what to expect.
Right.
So I wasn't expecting it to be easy. I also had friends who were able to give me a little bit of it. Although they were not residents in Middlesbrough,
yeah.
I had friends in Derby, Nottingham, and some other selected UK cities.
Mm-hmm.
And from them, I was able to get, you know, some realistic pointers as to what to expect. So I actually came prepared for the challenges. I knew there was the financial preparation to make. I understood the fact that when I came, I needed to be able to take care of myself before finding any part-time job or things that students tend to expect. So, for me, there wasn't really much of a shock. As for Teesside University turned out to be Much more better than I expected, because initially I wanted to go to one of the Russell Group universities.
Right.
Maybe due to the fact that I went to a school like UI, right. University of Ibadan. Mm-hmm. So naturally, I was trying to look out for, it's just like Cambridge, mm. Oxford, Bristol, yeah. and all those other universities that belong to the Russell Group.
Yeah.
But I looked at Teesside, and being that it was, you know, the one, again, the location, and then the fact that I saw Teesside as a university of the future, as a university that had a lot of potential to compete with these other universities if given the time.
Mm.
So I took time to look at, you know, the mission statement of the university.
Yeah.
I took a lot of time to study the website, which I'm sure most people don't usually do. They yeah. just look out for maybe the fees and tuition and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I could see that the university was, you know, going somewhere.
Right.
And you can see even from all the infrastructure that is going on at the uni at
yeah.
the moment, you can see that it's a university that already is headed towards competing with even some of the Russell Group unis.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So for me, it was all about the potential. I saw it, and I'm glad to be part of that journey.
Yeah. So did you miss anything, really? Like, things you were used to in Nigeria, and now that you're in the UK, is there anything that you miss that much?
Besides some of my friend and some of the food, I didn't really miss any other thing, because my family is here.
Right.
And even the food aspect, at least a great many of the Nigerian cuisine we have is equally available here.
Right.
Thanks to the Asian shops we have across Linktop Road mm-hmm. and the rest of them. Mm-hmm. So that has been pretty helpful. But I think if there's anything to miss about Nigeria, maybe just some of my friends, really, and some members of my extended family. But that really isn't, you know, I mean, I have my immediate family with me. My wife is here. My kids are here. So, I think I'm good, really.
Right, right. Mm. Thank you for sharing that. So, I wanted you to talk to prospective students who are kind of from Nigeria, who are trying to look for a very good university to study in the UK. What do you tell them?
Well, what I would say is do your research. Prepare financially, prepare emotionally, and this will especially go to those who are married, first and foremost, because for those who are married, if you come in here, as much as you can, if it's possible to come with your spouse and your children, do. But if you can't, and you have to come, you know, you need to, you know, get ready for the fact that, you know, you may not be seeing your family for some time. But this is a university that I think is pretty accommodating when it comes to helping students manage their mental health and things like that. I would also say that they should just do all they can to prepare financially, do all they can to ensure that they have a good support system here, make friends. You will discover that when you come here, sometimes you can get lonely, especially if you're coming from a country like Nigeria, where we are used to that, we have that sense of community. For you, so coming here, you might find that people are not, initially may not be as communal, which is where the Nigerian communities come in. So be friendly, join as many Nigerian communities as you can join. If you're someone who goes to church, your church might turn out to be that family, away from family.
Your community.
That at least that was the case for me.
Yeah.
So going to a place like a church or any similar Nigerian communities will help you in having that sense of community and meeting people with shared experiences who will be able to give you good advice. That really helps. Because at some point, you know, when it gets really lonely, it could become a challenge to your mental health.
Mm. Mm. So I wanted you to tell us about life in Middlesbrough. Although you have mentioned a part, you said it's cheap to live, something like that. It's more of countryside. So just shed more light about life in Middlesbrough.
Well, I think life in Middlesbrough and even the Teesside region generally is obviously not as fast-paced like cities like London.
Yeah.
And for me, I think that, you know, the fact that it's comparatively affordable,
yeah.
it's good for anyone who is starting out life in the UK.
Right.
So even if you have the desire to go to much more metropolitan cities like London or Manchester, starting out in a place like Middlesbrough will still be a very good option, because, you know, it gives you that room to, you know, get settled, get used to, get familiar with the terrain. And then maybe after a couple of months or years, if you feel the need to relocate, maybe due to a job you got or some other opportunity, then you can go. In my opinion, going to the metropolitan cities is something that should be for somebody who really has a very strong financial base. If you do not, if you're not from a family that has old money, if you're not somebody who really has a lot of financial endowments, I would suggest coming to cities like Middlesbrough, where the lifestyle is generally affordable.
Thank you. So give us like a statement or two about Teesside University.
Teesside University is a university that is holding its own as far as the UK higher education is concerned. And I think it's only a matter of time before they begin to compete with the Russell Group universities. I know this for sure because already at the moment, this is the number one campus for digital innovation, you know, actually due to their partnership with Adobe.
Wow.
The structures here are quite modern. Mm. And I think that, you know, even the teaching excellence framework, you know, recently got a gold. We got gold for the teaching excellence framework, which already shows that even teaching and research in Teesside University is quite competitive, especially with the Russell Group units. So, yeah. I think anyone who's futuristic and who wants to belong to the University of the Future should begin to look towards Teesside University.
Wow. Thank you for your time today.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, I'm aware you have some affiliations to the Albino Society back in Nigeria. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, that was back in Lagos. It all started when I met the president of the Albino Foundation as a journalist. That was Jake Epele. And so in the course of interacting with him, I knew that there was an Albino Foundation. They had a branch in Lagos, which I think was used to be somewhere in Ikeja. So I went there, I joined. And I think the reason I joined was because I could relate with their goals and their missions, because at some point, growing up as a teenager especially, I experienced, I think from my teenage years way into my early adulthood, I experienced a bit of discrimination, particularly on the social side of things.
Wow.
So I'll give one good example. I know, for instance, a lady I was crushing on as an undergraduate.
Right.
And the only reason she disqualified me was because I was an albino, what she called Afi.
Wow.
So as far as she was concerned, she had a belief system that felt that people like me were for the gods.
Wow.
And not for human beings.
So, that's really weird.
Yeah. So as far as she was concerned, dating someone like me was bad luck.
Oh.
Yeah. I find it quite amazing too that, you know, people still held on to such strong cultural beliefs. Yes, but yeah, that's how it is. So that was quite one of those examples.
Really. Wow. So that made you join the Albino Society?
It was one of the reasons I joined, because I realized people were not really informed as to who albinos were, and there were so many myths.
Yeah.
You know, about albinos that, oh, they don't eat salt, they can't stay under the sun.
Really?
I mean, who eats food without salt?
I don't understand. I know, right?
So, you know, I think it was needful to join the foundation that needed to debunk some of, or deconstruct some of these prevailing belief systems about albinos.
Yes. Yeah. So, listeners, I believe you have heard 1, 2, 3 things from Jude Wabokay. Jude is a wonderful person, and then personally, he is somebody I admire because of his specific feature too, because I like to befriend albinos. Unfortunately for some people, I don't discriminate against them. I like to have them as my friend. And then Jude is also a very brilliant human being. He supports you, he guides you. What is kind of difficult for you as a student in a foreign land, Jude will explain them to you, and you get them better using your Nigerian brain, of course. So I appreciate your coming to the program today.
It's been my pleasure.
And I hope that whenever we call on you again, you'll be there to answer us.
Most definitely.
So till next time, when I come your way, again, on another very interesting episode. I remain yours sincerely, Adeola. Thank you for listening.